think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Meeting between Vladimir Putin, president of the Russian Federation and leader of, at this moment, alliance in war with Ukraine, meets with Xi Jinping, the general secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, called president, in Beijing. Significant here is the symmetry. Once upon a time, Mao Zedong, who is a hero to Xi Jinping, traveled to Moscow to wait in a dacha for meetings with Joseph Stalin. That was the early days of the Chinese miracle of taking over the country and turning it into the People's Republic of China. The relationship between Stalin and Mao didn't exist. Mao was bitter. Stalin was arrogant. These many years later, it looks something reversed, although I note that there was a 7,000-word document proceeding from this meeting, and there was one sentence that is particular important. It was about nuclear weapons, and they said very clearly they should never be used. I'll read it. There can be no winners in a nuclear war, and it should never be fought. I welcome Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President of Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. Mary, when two men with huge arsenals of nuclear weapons meet and mention that it should never be fought, how did you hear that? Is this an expression of anxiety on their part? Is this a threat? Are we meant to not be certain? Good evening to you, Mary.
Good evening to you, John. Well, it's more of a propaganda message than anything else. China in the past has indicated that it might offensively use nuclear weapons, as has Vladimir Putin vis-a-vis the war in Ukraine. So you can't really take that for anything deeper than a propaganda statement. You're correct that both of these nations have a very significant nuclear arsenals, Russia more than 5,500, and China probably close to 500 at this point. There's also very little transparency about these stockpiles. One of the things that we tried to do in the Trump administration was to start trilateral talks between the United States, Russia, and China as the world's biggest nuclear powers. But China simply refused. And so we have no idea. Well, I wouldn't say we have no idea. We have some idea of where the weapons are and where they're being developed. But obviously, it's very far from the transparency that we shared with the Soviet Union, where there were inspections. So it's concerning, not just because they have nuclear weapons, but because of the nature of the regime that possesses those weapons. We don't worry, for instance, about India having nukes or Israel having a nuclear capability or Japan having a turnkey nuclear capability. It's the aggressiveness and the provocative posture of Russia and China and its lack of transparency about these very deadly weapons that's concerning.
About Russia, quickly. On Victory Day, Vladimir Putin made a statement talking about the strategic forces are always on alert. That is nuclear weapons as well. That was meant to intimidate Europe, and it did. The understanding from Putin in the beginning, I'm at war with NATO, and if you put NATO troops into Ukraine, I'll be obliged to, and then he doesn't fill in the blank. That is not the same story in China. China is not threatening to use its nuclear weapons, even though it is threatening Taiwan. So there are two different worlds. I want to move from the sword is out over Europe's head of Vladimir Putin, an understanding of 19th century warfare that's antique now, to the contest that we have with the People's Republic of China. Not about nuclear weapons, not even about gunfire. It's about trade. And the trade war is on, if I understand the headlines in Europe right now. The Financial Times, this is the pink newspaper out of London. Janet Yellen urges Europe to join U.S. in Chinese exports crackdown. Janet Yellen has urged the EU to join U.S. efforts clamping down on Beijing's green tech exports, warning that a glut of cheap Chinese goods could threaten the survival of factories across the world. This is the manufacturing overcapacity that was mentioned several weeks ago by the Secretary of State. Mary, this is a trade war with China. The old rule about trade wars is that everyone loses. Is that the new rule as well?
Well, certainly when we erect tariffs on imports, the U.S. consumer pays the cost of those tariffs. So in that respect, yes, we lose, and also China and other nations that we've imposed tariffs on also lose because it's more expensive for them to sell their goods. However, China is an adversary, communist China, and the United States and Europe have only recently woken up to this fact. And so China is a member of the World Trade Organization and yet follows none of its rules, illegally subsidizing its industries, dumping, stealing intellectual property. It's a very long list of transgressions. And so now Western nations that do respect the rule of law and the rules that they signed up for at the WTO have a problem because what do you do when one of the world's largest economies and a major WTO member just flagrantly violates rules and doesn't seem to care and starts to hollow out your industries and undercut your own nation's corporations and take jobs away? It's a very difficult problem. And so, you know, Janet Yellen is touting the Biden administration's political line of green energy, which is odd because the more that Washington subsidizes electric vehicles and tries to get everyone to put up solar panels, et cetera, the more dependent we're making us on China because that's where these things are made. But she does have a point when she says that China's industrial policy, and I'm quoting her here, may seem remote, .. But if we don't respond strategically in a united way, the viability of businesses in both of our countries, she was speaking in Germany, and around the world could be at risk. She's right about that. So the question is, can the United States, Europe, Australia, Japan, other partner nations that respect the rule of law and want a fair global trading system, can they put together a kind of architecture to trade with each other and get China out of the equation? They certainly can't do it overnight. The dependence on China and Chinese manufacturing is simply too great. But I see this Yellen trip to Germany and her comments as part of a larger challenge that we're only really beginning to grapple with.
The speech by the Secretary of the Treasury was in Frankfurt. That's an important trading zone for the Germans. And it included the finance minister of the coalition in Berlin, Christian Lindner. The European criticism in general, it doesn't say one person said this. It just says the Europeans have pushed back, saying what the U.S. owns, the U.S. owns sweeping tax breaks and subsidies for green manufacturing represented, quote, a turn towards American protectionism. That's a very polite way of the Europeans rejecting Janet Yellen's appeal. Can that be resolved, Mary? Are we going to have two different worlds here, the U.S. approach and the European approach?
Well, time will tell. The Europeans are certainly correct that we have erected protectionist barriers. We've done that partially, as I said earlier, for strategic reasons to combat unfair trade practices from China, but also for political reasons. I believe at the end of the day, the United States and Europe share common values. We share strategic interests. We want prosperity for our people. It may be bumpy, But I think ultimately we will get to the same place when it comes to trading practices. It just might take a while. And we might have divergent approaches to Beijing because we're not at the same point. Look, the United States still hasn't declared Communist China an enemy. We call them a competitor, which is nonsense. I mean, that's a description. It's not really a good explanation of what the regime is. Nor do we really compete with them, because competition implies that you both agree to the same set of rules. So we're not really there yet, and Europe is a couple of years behind us. So I don't know what will push us together. Maybe it takes a crisis, God forbid, or enlightened leadership on both sides of the Atlantic. But I think it will happen. It will happen eventually, because it must. I mean, Europe right now is facing a glut of Chinese-made electric vehicles that is really crushing their domestic car markets. So their populations, their democracies, are going to demand that something be done. And so it also depends, too, on, you know, elections on the continent and the results that they produce.
Yes, the elections are imminent. They're in early June, over several days. This is the European Union elections. And note that the European Commission president, who is running for re-election, Ursula von der Leyen, has said that Europe would not follow the U.S.'s, quote, blanket tariffs. There's more news in the world of Eurasia. Four wars underway. Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. We're headed to the streets of Tehran, overrun with grief. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it. Heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No